So, when you left off last July, it was a good ending. We paused at Pastor Solid and Sacred Olive, which was really actually a perfect transition because that was the conversation between Devil and Kimball, the characters of the So we're going to have a massive transition to the first topic of Paracel Faith, which is actually the topic that we're talking about. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but first I just wanted to introduce this Parac, and we're going to talk about that, because there's a lot going on with Paracel 7, and the Guile, and Naval. But to introduce it with a measure that we all know, but at least before we really learn this law, I'm never going to explain it. And that is the measure that Rashi quotes over here in source number one, when Yaakov meets Esau with his 11 children, and when it was bothering Rashi on the side, Yaakov did not have 11 children, not 12, because he may be roughly credited to the Yemen, but Leah has already given birth to Dina. So Rashi asked, where was Dina? And what's the answer that Rashi gives, which I never understood? She's in the box. She's in the box. Right, so this, like, you know, this explains what's going to happen later on. And David gets up and he goes to Midbar Haran. The natural issue that is why are we juxtaposing Shmuel's death with David getting up and going to the wilderness of Haran, where they saw one of our extended stops in our 40-year adventure. You know, there he is. He's going down into the deep south. It's the Shmuel's territory. But first, we should just appreciate that this is another example of a theme we saw a number of times last year, where Shmuel is consistently connected in the Navi to Moshe and Aaron. And here we have that again, because here we have a phenomenon of the leader of Kol Yisrael dying and all of Israel gathering for the morning experience. So we're going to make sure to highlight that for our recording, which is in verse number 2. That's Moshe. And after Moses commented, why does he call for Aaron and not for Moshe? It's because Aaron is more than both the men and the women, because of all the sons of Zion security, and because Aaron was the king of the nation. So we should just appreciate that the Navi is giving us, right? We know what it looks like when a leader comes to die and the entire nation comes out of the way. We saw that with Moshe, we saw that with Aaron. That's like Shmuel. You know, Moshe and Aaron were from Aaron. So now, why is David going down to Haran immediately upon David's actual death? The Malbim asked So that Yishai and his sons know about this, although it seems likely that by now Yishai and his sons are dead, because David got them off with Moab and then but Malvin suggests that all of a sudden now that Shmuel has died, it becomes public knowledge that Shmuel and the Lord of David is dead. Whether it's because he explicitly commanded that should be so, or whether he had it left through his students. During his lifetime, Shmuel said to Hashem, he said, when he went to anoint David, he said to Hashem, I'm afraid of Shmuel. So during his life, says the Malbim, Shmuel kept this anointment under wraps. But now he says, it becomes public knowledge. And it's very, very important because we're going to see David in a number of places in our parish begin to act like a king for the first time. And he was super respectful to Shaul in the previous chapter. He talked about the Mashiach Hashem, and he's nothing, and Hashem, Shaul's the king. All of a sudden, hey, we're going to see a transition. David, in the way he deals with Nabal, the way he deals with his men, the way he deals with Abigail, suddenly carries himself like a king in a number of points. This is become public knowledge, and that explains why now he has to cut it up. Because if it's become public knowledge that David is able to win the king of Shmuel, we know that's going to inspire another special ops mission from Shaul to go after. So that's the model. The reason why David is going to reveal this is that he's afraid of Shaul. Shmuel did not reveal the Lord until he was alive. Because he was afraid of Shaul. And Shaul was alive. I wasn't worried about that. David does. David's got that's the position of power. Now, Mari Krah, and this is not the Mari Krah that happened to us at all. This is the real Mari Krah that they have. It's a different answer, which is troubling. And it's going to be very foreboding for what we're going to see in this parable. Right? We see this thing of Israel, apparently, the dilemma of David, Yaakov, and Boaz, and Jesus, and Paul. This is a very troubling. One explanation, Malbim or juxtaposing Devin with Shaul's death, or Shaul going down, because that's what Devin has to run away. That's what Malbim is saying. My girl is saying, no, it's to tell us that this is a facility for Devin's shocking behavior here. The third explanation, you see, comes from the Abarbanel. What's the trick of the Abarbanel? We need to just look at a couple of those things. So, let me get to this. Let me get to this. Husband and the wife immediately. the name Nabal, something disgusting in the name, and Abigail is somebody who is both beautiful appearance and excellent of intellect. She's got it all. And Nabal, he's kashev, he's a disaster, and he's chalavi. So what exactly is this interesting? So the Barbanel just tells us, first of all, you should know, this one of those cases where the Barbanel quotes the Medrash and he approves of it. And the Barbanel says, endorse it on the level of chat. The Barbanel says, the Nabi is contrasting not only Nabal but Abigail. Nabi is contrasting Nabal and Shmuel. We're going to have Shmuel, who was the ultimate man of selflessness. Remember when Bnei Yisrael say they want the king, so that was one of Shmuel's most rebuking points. He says, I never took anything from any of you, and I did not use my leadership for a piece of personal gain whatsoever. Totally selfless, hold on. His death opens the chapter. Now, spoiler, Nabal's death won the chapter. Nabal is going to be just in every single way. We're contrasting Nabal with you. Now these words Nabal and Kalavi, there seems to be clear meaning to the words. You know, Nabal because it's disgusting, and he was a disgusting dead animal. The Ramban, though, is not a deal. This is very powerful. The Ramban says that Nabal has a very, very particular connotation. And this is fascinating that our association of Nabal is disgusting. Be that as it may, it's no question that nobody wants to have that association with Nabal. And then we were told something else about Nabal, he was a Kalavi, or Kalvi. So Rashi says that he becomes a Kalvi. Kalvi Tenyasun, that was a leading member of Yehuda, obviously. Several of this Rashi opens up a very important political. Well, Nabal is a prominent member of the tribe of Yehuda. He's very wealthy. He lives in Yehuda. He may be descended. Rashi says he's descended from the house of Kalev, which is one of the prestigious families of Yehuda. What's Babazifus? Is Babazifus impressive? Roman impressive? On one hand, this is Rabbi Boaz. Who's mother? That's true. We don't know his mother. But we know his yichus is complicated. Right? His yichus is complicated. And Chazal make a big deal about this. This is, they have a novel saying, you know, the descendant of a Moabite Kama is going to walk there. It's not going to happen.
The Bar Menachem though thinks that it doesn't mean Kalvi. Right? What's the shorish of Kalvi? It can mean Kalei, but also can mean Kalev, it can mean a dog. Right? So Bar Menachem suggests that this is someone who's of dog-like behavior, which is something we're going to see come up later on. That's someone who's totally disgusting, dog-like, ungrateful, as opposed to Abigail. Rav Menachem points out that the name Abigail itself indicates the Av of Gail, the father of Simcha and rejoicing. Right? You have someone who's intelligent, someone who's happy, someone who's beautiful, someone who has everything going for her. She's married to a guy who's just a disaster. And that is the couple which David is going to confront in our past. It shouldn't continue to tell us that David hears that Nabal is shearing the sheep, and then he sends some of his men to go to David. They make a big deal about these Arim. Now he mentions the Arim a number of times. Then Arim go to Nabal, and they give him Shalom in Pasuk A, and then you turn the page to page number 3. Look how many times David is sending Shalom to Nabal. Three different times in Pasuk Vav. They write them, Kolachoy, Acha Shalom, Uvizcha Shalom, Kol Shalom, Shalom, and like, peace. This is like the nicest message anyone's ever possibly given. Like, 2-4 times in 2 seconds. Says David in Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chas, I'm asking what you think about this in a second. David says, Acha Shamati, he goes to the Mlach, Acha Haroi, Mashe Lacha, Hayu Imanu. So you're shearing the sheep. Your shepherds are with us. Lo Hichlam Num, the Lo Nifkad Lahem Mu'uma, Kol Yimei Hayosem B'Karmel. How do they translate this in the JPS? They say, Lo Hechalmum means, or Lo Hechalmum, Lamnum, we did them no hurt, and none of their stuff was missing. And then David brings the ask in Pasuk Ches, you know, after all the nice words in Shalom, says, can you send us something? Send something to your servant, to your son, David. So it's a very nice message. It's very warm, very peaceful. He calls himself Nabal's Eved. He calls himself Nabal's son. Do we think David's ask is appropriate? What's he asking for? Do we think his ask is appropriate? What do you think? As a food. Appropriate or inappropriate?
Why not eat the same?
Right. So why does he precedes his request by talking about what he did with the shepherds? Right. Here's how I treated David's shepherds. Right. We did them no harm.
The way David treated
Nabal shepherd. Sorry. Right.
Coming to nicely and peacefully and asking,
we took
care of them.
So did we take care of them, or did we take care of them, or is this like a protection racket? Why? I didn't hurt your shepherds, and so therefore pay me?
I didn't embarrass them.
Yes. So that is exactly what Rashi is going to say. This translation, we did them no harm. Radak actually quotes this, because I think that's how the Targum translates it. And the Radak says that's a terrible translation. Because it means we didn't hurt them. I mean, Shkaya. You know, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse? Like, what does that even mean? We could have harmed them, we didn't, so pay us. This is not a protection racket. Rashi says, and this is really important to the rest of the parak, Rashi says, if they needed something from us, we did not turn them away empty-handed. We gave them what they wanted. And Marikra explains That means we didn't embarrass them. Because what is the most embarrassing thing in the world? When you need something, you go to somebody, you summon up the courage to ask, and they don't get it, right? They turn you down, they reject it, they send you empty-handed. That's the ultimate experience, right? Rejection is the experience of embarrassment. And David is telling them, well, exactly what he said. I took care of your shepherds. We gave them what they needed. Now, can you help us in return? What's Neville's response? Too bad.
Let's take a look. First, Pasuk Tes. Neville says, Vayavo na'arei David. Again, David's lad. Right? We've talked about his lad a number of times. Vayadabru al-Naval kachah ha-dvar ma'ilu b'shem David. So they said all these words in the name of David. Vayanuchu. And they ceased. They stopped talking. That's an extra word. It doesn't mean to tell us that they stopped talking. That's the definition. They should just say what they said, and then Neville starts talking. So Rashi's first explanation of this is very important. Rashi says this means that David's Na'arim were so responsive to David's command, and you can think of like in the Megillah with, you know, like the whenever the king sends his messengers, right? They run. You know, Rahasher sends somebody, you don't walk, right? They run. So Rashi says, that's what happened with David's Na'arim. They got an order, yes sir, right? They run, and he says, they didn't stop, right? They ran to Neville, they ran, they reported, they made the speech. They knew the first time they could take a breath, right? Mission accomplished, we did what David commanded us, and now we can take a breath. So the pasuk then is emphasizing the loyalty that David's men have to him, and that they're treating him no longer like just some commander of the desert, right? He's loyalty. David gives you a command, you answer. And now, what's Neville's response to this? Vaya'an Neville, es avdei David. And look at that, right? How does the Navi change their title? They had been David's lads, now all of a sudden they're his servants. Right? We have pieces. The Navi is sprinkling in references to royalty. This is not the same fugitive David we had in the last chapter. This is now David who is a fugitive, but he's a fugitive who's also a king. And he has his men who respond to him that way. And Neville says, Vayomer, mi Davidu mi ben Yishai. Right? Oh, it's always derogatory. When Dustin and Aviram go after Moshe, they call him Ben Amram. They call someone the son of, that's a derogatory term. Yom Rabu Havadim Hespartim Yishupne Adonav. There's so many servants who are breaking away from their master. Now here's an interesting question. Who's the master? Who's the servant? So let's understand this, right? Is that exactly David is breaking away from Shaul? Any other possibility? What do you think?
His servants,
but
away from him, his shepherd left him.
So that has a whole article about David in Neville, and that's actually exactly the suggestion he makes. But he thinks, you remember, who are David's men? How did he get these men? The Navi said these men were people who were low on their luck, they owed money, or if they were like the people who are losing in society, they came to David. So Ravidan suggests, these are all people who owed money to the rich man in town, and they're supposed to be a slave. Because that's what the rich were doing. They were just enslaving the poor. It's just these people are supposed to be, you know, they owed Neville money, and then instead of, you know, Neville taking over and enslaving them, they go and work for David. Very creative take. Shot of the pasuk is probably that the Avadim refers to David himself. So Rashi, yeah, I said earlier from Rashi, I think that the Adon is the master, it's not Shaul, but the master is Neville. Rashi here quotes the Medrash where Neville talks about what the descendant of Rus from Moaviah is supposed to be running the show. I'm from Kali. I'm not going to respond to this.
Now, what does he say? Now we have the ingratitude, the full display.
I should take my bread as lach me as me my as if I see. He's talking like a person in heaven.
Okay, so all him. And I should give it to you know, to whatever Yatzmach or whoever. So that's Nevel's response.
So we have the we're actually reading the passage, right?
Nevel, the savage men telling Nevel, Lo Hamu, we did not turn them away. They asked for help, they gave it to us. Right? And there's the most humiliating thing we sent away. The ingratitude of Nevel does exactly that. He's being mocked, he's embarrassing, he's sending away, he's being a Nevel, he's being ungrateful, he's not recognizing anything that was done. He's rebelling against David at a time when the Navi is making clear that David is not just some regular guy. So far, right, if we stop right here, we would say the good guy in the story is clearly David, the bad guy in the story is clearly Nevel. And in fact, we just look at verse 3 and 4, some of the parallels to Navi makes. We said earlier, David linked with Yaakov, right? The story of David and Esau, swapped for wives, and David has to run away from the father-in-law goes after him. David's been linked with Yaakov a number of times. We have one again here. That really makes it obvious to think of Nevel and David as parallel to Yaakov and Laban. We have the wealthy person shearing his sheep. We have the person, the dedicated person who's watching, right? And we're going to see Nevel's men are going to say soon that they helped us. Gam Laila, Gam Yom, they helped us during the day. They helped us during the night, which is like the way that Yaakov, when he goes off on love, and he says, Laila. I worked through the day, I worked through you at night. They get stiffed, right? There's a salary stiffing. Nevel's not paying Yaakov, David for everything he did. Laban didn't pay Yaakov for everything he did. And finally, the Medrash, even points out, I'll talk about similarities between Laban and Nevel. How about the letters of their names? Take the letters. So if we stop the story here, we would say this is amazing. Right? Like, now Laban, who's Arami Ovinavi, like all-time first ballot Hall of Fame in Russia. We have Yaakov on the other hand, David and Nevel. It's all being running everyone back. And David's wonderful, and Laban's and Nevel's terrible. It's a very nice and simple and easy story. We all feel good when we go. The problem is, Perek does not end at 50 days. Perek's going to continue for another 30. And as the Mari Kra had said at the beginning of the Perek, we're introducing the death of Shmuel to tell you that the way David is going to behave, he never would have done if Shmuel had been alive. Now, let's see. We'll read one pasuk, and we'll see the transformation. What is pasuk in Gimel Shalah? Vayomer David lanashav. Chigru ishes karbo, right? Boys, put on your swords. Vayachru ishes karbo. They put on their swords. Vayachkor gam David is karbo. David puts on his sword as well. The Radak says David was so angry. 400 men could have handled Nevel, but David is going to make sure he's going to go with them as well. It's not normal for usually the king stays back, but David's going to be at the head of the army. Vayilu acharei David ka'arba meos ish u'masayim yashvu ala kelim. David's men are now 600, but 200 stay home. 400. We have an image of David at the head of 400 men going off to wipe out Mount. What does that remind us of him? Yeah. In one pasuk, David has transformed from being Yaakov facing Laban to being Esav apparently facing Yaakov. Right? And lest we think this is a coincidence and it's just one strange pasuk, keep going. So now the Navi cuts scene and tells us about Avigail. So Avigail is there and one of Nevel's Ne'arim goes to Avigail. Nevel's lads are much less loyal to Nevel than David's lads are to David. And the Na'ar tells Avigail, here's what happened. David sent messengers.
to give a bracha to our master, and Naval was very angry with them, and Batesvav, and Hashem told him, oh, they were so good to us, right? They didn't hurt us, and they didn't embarrass us, they helped us so much, you know, they helped us in the day, they helped us at night. Okay, so they go to the guy, they gotta do something. But if you're dying, the Narim say, after the Iri'i Matasi, know and see what you should do. He calls Sarah all Adonin of Al-Kobeso. Right? Evil is coming against our master and his entire household. And he is such a base fellow, they say, that no one can speak to him. Now, what does that mean? He is such a Ben Blial. Who's the he? Who is the he who's such a Blial, right? Base fellow, or literally someone who throws off the yoke. That's a loaded term to say for Shmuel. That goes back to the terms of Eli, Blial, Eli accused. Anna being of Blial. The exact opposite. The whole of Sefer Shmuel is you have to accept the yoke. Leadership is a yoke. It's not a privilege. It's not a privilege. It's a responsibility. So he's a Blial and he's not going to speak to him. Exactly. Right. Who is then Blial? It's all right. It's Naval. They're telling Abigail, look, you got to do something. Naval, he's beyond reason. We can't talk about it. We do. There are sportsmen who come to wipe him out. There's no we can do, right? He's beyond talking to, you've got to do something about it. However, that is not how the Radak reads the passage. The Radak reads the passage, he says, who's the Blial who you can't talk to? David. David is beyond negotiation. So Abigail, you got to do something because David has transformed into a Ben Blial. He will not talk to Naval, and you need to figure out some way to set this right. Right? You have David at the end of the head of 400 men. David maybe becoming the Blial, which is the worst thing you can be in Sefer Shmuel. And then, right, finishing questions. And then what does Abigail do? So Abigail takes a whole bunch of food, and she's going to send it ahead to David. And it's even going to call it a bracha, which is right. We know this exact image. Have eight out of the 400 men, and Yaakov sending ahead all the animals to appease them. And we've promised, right? Abigail doing the exact same thing. So we'll see next week how Abigail is going to handle that. Yeah. We should appreciate what has happened when we stop it. We understand why the Mari Krat said this never would happen. The dangers of kingship, right? The corrosive potential we have gained. Yeah, halakhically, is David justified in killing Naval because he's a rebel? Maybe, we can talk about that. But the Navi clearly seems harshly critical, extremely critical, of David's behavior over here. And then what does David say at the end? I mean, it's like, you know, David's furious. You see his anger. Huff Aleph, David says, Ah, the sheker shamartias kol shela zeb amidbar. Why is it for in vain that I did so much work for this guy in the desert? Right, you know, you can't even say Naval's name. Zeb, this guy. Lo nifka mikol shalom mekumai. He wasn't missing anything. Vayashav li ra'atachas tavah. He did evil to me in response to good. Yeah, that's Naval's trademark, right? The ingratitude. And then it says in Chafes, Ko yasalo kim lo oizei David ho yosef. Here's what God should do to David's enemies. No, by the way, I'll see this next week. David always talks about Hashem. David always talks about Hashem and Yisrael Hashem. David always talks about the Yisrael Hashem. That's God. There's no mercy from David. He's not even mentioning Hashem's name, right? He has a din right over here. So may Elohim do. Im ashkir mikol ashelo achoker mashtin bekir. That's a difficult phrase to translate. It comes up a few times in the Nevi'im. And it's always used in the context of wiping out an entire household. So in Melachim, a couple of Nevi'im are sent where Hashem says, I'm going to wipe out your house, mashtin bekir. Right? Here they say, their translation, and some of the other portion as well, say that it means every single male, and the way to translate the pasuk is those who urinate against the wall. That's a harsh way of talking about men. So
Some of the other Mepharshim say it even means a dog. Right? I mean, I'm going to wipe out any living thing that Neville has. Abba says he's going to wipe out. Right? He is out of control. The head of 400 men, and he's furious. We should take a giant step back. We should realize this is what was in David's nature from the beginning. Malba made this point way back in Parashat Zion when Shmuel was the voice of David, and Shmuel wasn't sure if it was David. Rabbi said over there that David was Amoi, he was red, and was also the same man with beautiful eyes and beauty to look upon. And Malba got it right there, Shmuel was alarmed. And what do you I see? But I also see the redness. This is somebody who has Yaakov in his personality, and he has Esav in his personality. I'm not sure that it's going to need to have that be versus king of our of Bnei Yisrael. Malcolm says, Hashem responds to Shmuel, no. He needs the Esav there. He needs the Admiral. He's going to use that.
We're going to see next week, you know, Abigail.
This is going to be Rashi Medrash, because Abigail is going to confront David, and she'll, you know, she's going to cure him of Esav disease, basically. So she's going to do, right? She's going to transform that evil part of Esav into something productive. But this one last point is just so interesting. And it just shows that David needed the Esav component, even though it obviously happened. Abigail has one son, we're told about, at least it's Kilab. Kilab is the second son that David has. What's surprising is that in all the fights that David's son has, who's going to be the next king, we see Adoniel, we see Absalom, we see Amnon, we never see Kilab, which is just strange. So the Gemara of Basra, which says, there are four people who never see, there's four people who have never been for the snake. If they hadn't been, if not for the snake, they never would have died. Four people never sinned. Who were they? And Yemen, Amram, Yishai, and Kilab. What do they all have in common? All four of these people, Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, and Kilab, they all have very close proximity to people who have very prominent sins in Tanakh, but who also were tremendous leaders of Klal Yisrael. Binyamin is the brother of Yosef. Yosef's failure is not in full display in Parshas Vayeshev, but who accomplished far more? Yosef. Moshe, I mean, it's difficult to understand what Moshe's sin was at Meribah, but Hashem comes back to it three or four times. It's one of the most repeatedly revisited mistakes in Chumash. Moshe, Hashem keeps on going back to Ma'altim betrayed me at Meribah. Amram is Moshe's father. He never sins, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu who was the one who led us out of Mitzrayim. It's, you know, Amram who needed Miriam to get her. And it's Yishai and Kilab, who are the father and son of David. And David accomplishes so much. Now we're going to talk about Bathsheba, the whole issue of Uriah Bathsheba in this whole age. David's sin is on full display, but his accomplishment is on full display as well. I think the idea that we're about trying to get out over here is Abigail is there to moderate the Esav and David. So you want to know why you need that Esav piece? And you need it to be together with the Yaakov piece, because if all you have is the image and the purity, you're going to have a Binyamin, you're going to have a Kilab. Someone who's a wonderful tzaddik, but someone who did not move the needle in Jewish history. And we're going to struggle with the mistakes that David's been making from all days. And what he
kingship can do, what power can do to somebody who on one hand has the charisma to actually wield it, on the other hand, the charisma to abuse it, that's going to be just a necessary flaw in the system. We just need to appreciate that there's a reason why this is the rest of the power. It is a necessary personality to do what Kali Yisrael needs to do. Also, from the fusion of David out of the God, out of the end of the power, which is really going to have David set up to go ahead towards the very dream of Kali Yisrael.